This is The Illustrious Gentleman. This is Ryan here in the Northern Villa, and on today's show we follow up on last week's episode where we set ourselves routines to follow to see how that would affect our workflow and sort of our time management. And this week's episode we get into that, and it didn't go well for one of us and it went great for the other one of us. So it's an interesting talk. I don't think it's a surprise that Scott and I both have self-doubt issues and self-worth issues, So it's the blind leading the blind as far as advice goes on today's episode. But it's a really good conversation between myself and Scott. And I hope you guys find it in as honest and as revealing as it was in the moment. And I think it's an important talk. There might be one or two audio glitches in this one. We did have some issues on both sides of the fence last week, but I think I put together a pretty decent episode. So thanks for giving it a listen, and thanks always for the support.
Natural radio waves emanating from the ether, pulsars and such. When I gave my office to my 9-year-old, I gave my my mic swing arm to the 12-year-old to use for gaming. So now there's a good 14 inches or so between me and the mic.
That's just going to make the audio quality better.
I could just talk like this for the video's sake. I mean, or for the podcast. I have to sacrifice one or the other. You can't have both ways here. There's no solution whatsoever.
I find that hard to believe.
There's nothing to be done.
Oh, let me pull my notes up, but I am not in a good mood today. I am fucking fired up. I'm ready to do this.
Oh, wow. About what? What's got your panties all in a bunch?
Yeah, it's just been kind of those mornings where like everything gets on my nerves. Like I woke up and got to work, and then the work wasn't like all of last week. We'll get to that. That's the point of this week's show. But my morning chunk of work last week went swimmingly, went wonderful. And then today's 2-hour chunk of work before other schedule kicked in was like tedious. I had to set up a page. It wasn't formatted because I'm coloring a different artist. So it's like, it just was slow going today. Like I probably made less than minimum wage this morning, far less than minimum wage this morning working. And then I go to make breakfast and like the eggshells aren't cracking correctly. I'm getting like eggshell in my fucking eggs. And
it'd be weird if you got eggshell and something else, like eggshell in your hash browns or something.
And then like people just posting like annoying shit on social media that's pissing me off. My cats just being like cats, you know, just existing. So to try to turn that around in the last like half hour, I guess 40 minutes, we started a little late. I just slammed like a triple espresso canned iced coffee. I ate a shitload of shrimp cocktail, and I downed 2 Tecates. So
wow. So you're going to be doing this episode from the toilet.
I was going to say, things are either going to pick up or I'm going to get sick. So one or the other is going to happen. And then I was trying to, so what I do now as a way to better myself, I try to figure out why am I mad? Like, what triggered me this morning that set...
Oh, I hate that word.
I know, but I don't know what other word to use. So it's either I didn't get the quality of sleep I thought I did, which I know I woke up a couple times, but I immediately fell back asleep. So I feel like I got good sleep. But in my inbox this morning, a friend of mine that we did the Okinawa trip with last summer sent a video. He edited together like a minute and a half long music video style thing, or 2 minutes of us when we were in Okinawa. So maybe I saw that and it was like, I remembered how great that was, how awesome that was. And then I immediately had to like get back into the real world. So maybe that bummed me out. Quarantine world, blah, blah, blah. But either way, I want to let everybody know that you can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at TIG_show. All the past episodes are available at anchor.fm/tigshow or any of those big podcatcher sites like Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, which I just got an email saying they're going to change to just Google Podcasts. no shit. Everywhere else. Cast box, hot box, smoke box.
Hot box.
That's right. Pod play, play pod, people pod. If you enjoy the show, wherever you listen to it, leave us a review, especially if it's on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Leave us a review. Tell your friends, support the show. Patreon.com/TIGshow or go to TIGshow.com and you can get some merch there. All the links are there. Patreon backers get cool stuff like the ability to recommend show topics, answer questions. You know, they can always recommend drinks for us to drink. And they can watch the video casts that we record for every show. So do that. Usually get the episode a couple days early. And my last item of business is to make sure your local comic shop carries the Family Tree from Image Comics and Young Justice from DC Comics. Support ya boys.
The only two books you need.
That's it. Just get two books every month. That's all you need. All right, so I'm going to try to calm down here. The espresso might be kicking in here in a second. But, yeah, my camera's all off kilter, too. you look like you're in, like on the Deadliest Catch when they film the, like, confessional, like, in the bottom of the boat somewhere, like, in a room. That's where you are. Mm. Yeah. Very bright.
Yeah, well, the sun is.
Yeah, you're a sunny guy.
It's my disposition.
Are you imbibing this week or no?
No, I'm passing.
All right, well, I'll drink for two like I always do.
Like your mom.
Shout out to King's Liquor Store in Phoenix, recommended by Mike Banks of Samurai Comics. Great bottle and can selection there. I picked up a Bottle Logic from Anaheim, California. Astrolabe Quadrant. It's not one of their normal beers because it's canned in like a generic can where they just print the label on there with like a Microsoft or like a Hewlett Packard printer label.
Mm-hmm.
It was packaged about a month ago, so I thought I should drink it. 6.10%. It's a pint of it, and it is considered a India Pale Lager. So it's a lager brewed with lots of hops. So not an ale, but a lager. I guess this is a thing that they're doing now, other breweries where they're just making hoppy lagers. I don't know. There's like two reviews on Beer Advocate Theater. So, to disappoint our listeners even more, there's no Beer Advocate Theater this week. But Bottle Logic on the Twitter group that I'm part of, where everyone posts what they're drinking and shit, every editor and creator that's in, California, they fawn over Bottle Logic. They love Bottle Logic. So when I saw this, I decided, let's give it a shot. So a hoppy lager. Anything you've been doing the last week? Any shows you've been watching? Any TikTok shit?
I sent you a link to this podcast, the Weekly Planet podcast, because they gave you and Phil and Eric, and I'm ashamed to say I don't know the letterer's name, a shout out, right, on the show, which was neat. It was neat to hear. It's a couple of Australian blokes, I believe. Well, one of them is Mr. Sunday, who does the Mr. Sunday Movies YouTube channel, which is also very good. But they seem like a cool couple of guys. They got really good chemistry. I like the show. They're pretty funny. They talk about good shit. I enjoy it. It's my new favorite podcast, probably. It's the one that doesn't bum me out the most. I mean, I've also been listening to Pod Save America. I don't know the name of the hosts on that one, but it's a one of the hosts is a former Obama speechwriter, so that's the way it leans. And this week's episode was Obamagate, which was puzzling and demystifying.
Yeah, Steve Wands.
Anyway.
Steve Wands is the letterer and designer of Family Tree. Yes, I listened to several episodes of that. I also enjoy that podcast. I'm glad you turned me on to it because it's like chicken soup for the soul. They're funny. They got great accents.
Oh, yeah. The accents are great.
It's easy to listen to. Like, I listened to like three or four episodes in the span of like a day or two. And then I found myself like talking in an Australian accent to my wife and shit. It's just funny.
Yeah. They do what we don't. They, you know, they have good chemistry. Their rapport is great. They're two guys that are just super witty and super fast and bounce off of each other like super balls. And it's a fun listen. I wish we were like that, but we're boring as fuck Americans. I don't even want to talk to me.
No, it's a chore every week. I have these other little rants, but as far as we're on TikTok, I did finish the Picard, the Star Trek Picard on CBS All Access.
Oh.
It did kind of peter out a little bit.
Picard out.
Yeah. The thing it did was it introduced ideas that I want to see in a future show that isn't necessarily Picard. I don't need a second season of Picard. But if you're a Star Trek nerd, Seven of Nine makes an appearance, and she's like part of like a galactic kind of like militia force almost. Like she's like a free agent, part of this like the Fenris Rangers, I guess they're called. And they're out there policing where the parts of the galaxy where Starfleet has pulled back. And so they're out there just doing like mercenary shit. And I am one...
Like Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm 1,000% on board with a Seven of Nine Fenris Ranger series. First of all, she might be the hottest 52-year-old woman on the fucking planet. And then also just the crew, the new pilot they introduced on this show on Picard. I really like him. So there's things there that they could jump onto that I don't necessarily need to see more Picard. But I did like that, spoiler alert, at the end of the series, there seems to be that crew. Like, he seems to have, like, a new crew. They're on a ship, and they're just kind of, like, not part of Starfleet, just doing whatever they want to do.
Right. It's like the Space Mystery Van.
Yes, Space Scooby-Doo. I think there is potential there for cool stuff. So yeah, I liked it better than The Mandalorian. But we both saw that Raylan Givens is going to be a Space Ranger of some sort, probably.
You did mention that to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they heard the show. They were like, oh, Scott and Ryan didn't like it. What can we do? Oh, well, give Tim Oliphant a call and see if he wants to be on next season. God damn you, Disney Plus.
I think it was, it might have been Josh Cruz on Twitter or somebody that I follow on Twitter said, like, it'd be awesome if it's just Raylan Givens coming out of Carbonite after like a couple thousand years. He's the same character.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Let's see. What else do I have? Do you have anything else in your what you've been doing?
No, I got sort of a shout out to a YouTube channel. I've been watching a ridiculous and unproductive amount of BuzzFeed Multiplayer or BuzzFeed Unsolved Mysteries. I really like the two hosts. There's one of them is named Ryan. I don't like that guy. But the other guy, I like Shane. They do a lot of like ghost hunting sort of stuff, and Shane is a super skeptic guy, and he's very entertaining. I like ghost shows, but I hate ghost shows. I have a love-hate relationship with that shit. Much like most things in my life. Shout out to that! Oh, and The Last Dance I started watching on Hulu.
I was going to ask you about that because I've never been a big NBA guy.
I was a basketball kid.
But I hear this is so good. Like, as someone who loves documentaries and loves sports, I should probably just watch it.
I don't know. Maybe it was overhyped. I don't know. It just seemed like another thing. I don't know. Like, I don't have a perception either of Michael Jordan. Like, I don't hold him up to be this awesome thing. So that was the big thing with the show, right? It's showing all the kinks in the armor and warts and all sort of shit. And whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll probably give it a watch just because what I mean, although I was going to say, what else do I have to do? But I have realized during quarantine, I have zero desire to like watch TV. Like, I have not been binging things. I have not been, I mean, I guess I was for the first couple of weeks, but in the last, since we started this new schedule, like in the last like 10 days or whatever, I haven't really watched anything except a bunch of episodes of Picard because we got into it. We wanted to finish it. But like, I stopped watching 30 Rock. I stopped watching Ozark. I stopped watching all these things I was binging. And I don't miss it. Like, I don't miss going to bed and not watching any TV all day or watching the news or anything. I really don't fucking care. Just give me sports. Give me sports. I mean, the UFC came back. There's three UFC cards in the last week. So I watch a lot of fucking fighting in front of empty crowds and shit. But other than that, I don't really miss. It's like when I stopped reading comics like 12 years ago. I didn't miss comics. Like the first month, I was like, I don't care. I easily do away, I guess, with media of all kinds. I'm fine not imbibing.
Yeah, like live TV, I guess, isn't my thing. I have the Hulu Live bullshit. And I don't know. You get, it's not a much, 30 channels, something like that. A lot of them, like half of them are Fox Sports, and there's nothing going on right now. Yeah, so I watch Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, if it's on, because I fucking hate myself. Yeah, that's an appropriate response. Just shake your head.
Right. So I wanted to be like, I was, I don't know, in an effort to be true to myself. I went to Yuma this weekend to drop off. I'm part of an art show for the city of Yuma, county of Yuma. I don't know what it is, city or county. And I had to drop off a bunch of like original things. And like at first I was like thinking like I can't really post about this on social media because then people are going to lose their shit that I'm out and about like doing stuff. And I don't even want to deal with that because I am vocal about like wear your masks, do your best or whatever. But I mean, to be honest, like I did go to like two bars that were open or one was like a restaurant, but like, you know, I tried to make it so that we went to places that were socially distant. They removed tables. So this is what my experience was like. Like we went to this place.
Interesting.
Tables were removed. So every other table was taken out. We didn't sit at the bar, we didn't sit at the bar, but the bar had like two stools and then a space of like 5 or 6 feet and then two stools. So they're removing like every two stool. They're removing like half the stools, half the tables. We were going to go somewhere on Friday because places opened in Phoenix on Friday. And it was like limited seating at this brewery and there was a line to get in. So I'm like, I have no desire to wait in that line to then be in a crowded brewery, even with limited seating. So the places we did go, we made sure we were like socially distanced. I made sure when I ordered, I had my mask on. The servers all had masks on. But I still felt weird about posting like I was out in public. Like I just saw a photo on Facebook and it was Chris Ryle of IDW and Kevin Eastman were having a beer, Santan beer, because they tagged Mike Malvey in it. And then in the comments, Chris Ryle felt like he had to put like, just so everyone knows, we were staying socially distant, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, is this our new world? Like if we're posting, yeah, we're hanging out with people, we have to make sure, yes, we say that we're doing the right thing.
Yeah. Totally, you have to do that. And restaurants now will not have tables. Everybody has to eat standing up.
I'm fine with that. That's how I eat most of my meals anyways. But yeah, I feel like if you post a picture of you out in public and you don't clarify that, like if you don't have your mask on, you have to clarify like, oh, there's no one else around me, that's why I didn't have my mask on. Like, because otherwise there's going to be some fucking like asshole who's like, you're the problem, blah, blah, blah. And I realize maybe I am part of the problem, but
I think the solution here is to just get rid of social media. I think we should just nuke Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
Maybe, but you know, it's so weird that I feel like I have to justify everything so that some asshole out there, like I'm pretty liberal, but they're like super liberals who want you to explain everything. Trust me, every time I'm out, I'm doing the best I can to be socially distant and safe. When I went to the Yuma Arts Center to drop off my artwork, they took our temperature with one of these like guns that you put to your forehead and it takes your temperature.
Right.
I was safe. I mean, I didn't have a fever or anything like that. We had to sign in. It's a cool spot though. I mean, if any of our listeners, I don't know if any listeners are in like the California Imperial Valley or like Southwestern Arizona, but the Yuma Art Center is cool as shit. So if they start letting people in the summer, there's going to be a cool like comic book art gallery thing going on. I'll have a bunch of pieces there, like 11 things there. But yeah, it was fun. I dipped my toe in the Colorado River. Probably got like horse shit on it, or horse piss, or human piss, human shit, whatever. But I did it.
You didn't know if you got shit on your toe?
Well, Well, you know, like there were horses, people on horseback riding, kind of wading in the water. So I don't know what fecal matter is in that river, but I put my toe in it. I mean, black sludge was not on top of my toenail when I...
Okay, there you go. There you go.
Sure. I mean, who knows what's in there?
You have horse flu now.
Probably. I don't know, and I don't care. My last note here that I have is this morning I was driving and I got behind a pickup truck that looked like it had like 15 gas cans in the back. So I'm like, oh, maybe they're filling up because gas is so cheap. And it had two stickers on the back. One said retired army and one said retired trucker. And I just said out loud, current asshole. And I thought that was so funny. There's no one in the car. There was no one in the car with me to witness this. So I have to replay it so everyone knows how clever I am. And he was an asshole. Trust me. All right. So anything else before we get into it?
No, let's do it.
So we're going to follow up our conversation from last week where we made a schedule trying to turn it into a routine, which is going to try to become a habit. So we're going to follow up and see how the last week has been. I'll go first and just do a quick run through of what my schedule was to remind people. I was going to get up at 6:15, out of bed by 6:30, work from 7 to 9. From 9 to 12:30, I did my breakfast and my errands and my, you know, walks. I wrote the word exercise, but I'm just walking and jogging a little bit. 12:30 to 4:45 was lunch and work. 4:45 to 6:30 was errands and dinner. 6:30 to 8 was work. 8 to 9:30, I just wrote chill. That's where I would have watched TV had I watched TV. And then bed around 10. That was kind of my schedule. Your schedule was different, but roughly similar, but different kind of blocking.
Same, but different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess recap. Up at 6:30, shower, take care of shit, eat, sit down. By 7 to start work. Work for 3 hours uninterrupted. And then, I don't know, do what I need to do during that time. Or whatever it would be. Usually shit with the kids and such. Pick at what I can pick at, and then end the day with another uninterrupted 3 hours. So 6 hours work guaranteed with the hope for more, but not the expectation. And awesome. So should we share how it went?
Yeah, let's take our break.
We'll do it on the other side.
Yeah, we'll do it on the flip side, the B side. All right. Well, since everyone listens to the show because of you, why don't you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I'll go first. Week one was an unmitigated disaster. It was not good. I got up at the correct time maybe 3 days in the last week. I did not start work by 7 a.m. on any of those days. I got no 3-hour chunks of uninterrupted work in. And it's 80% my fault, probably. Probably only about 20% external forces. So, fuck's sakes, man. It's a real bummer. It's a downer because I was really trying, and I felt like I was trying at the best time too, you know, because I'm rubbing my ass up against this deadline, and I figured this will be a good thing. I will say I can't speak for how anybody else would experience this. Obviously, I can only talk for myself. I already feel like disappointing, and so to have this other thing that I'm trying to accomplish on top of everything else and to not achieve it just makes me feel worse.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that was the risk coming into this and what you didn't want to happen, right?
Yeah. So what I thought could have, and probably still now, could be a really positive thing. I really liked having something, not that I don't have goals, but I liked having these things that I don't know. I'm bad with all of this shit. I don't know what to call them. Like, goalposts or mile markers or something, you know, just, it was sort of, or breaking it down into baby steps or some shit. I liked having, the illusion of a structure.
Yeah.
But that's all it was.
What do you think was the hardest part for you to stick to? Was it like once it went off the rails at 7 a.m., you couldn't get back on? Or was it a certain part of the day? I mean, you said you didn't get started every morning. But after that, was it all just catch up and clusterfuck? Or was there like, could you get into a rhythm and then something? Was there one part that was harder than the rest? Was it the schedule making or was it you managing your time?
I don't know. It's hard to say. There are a lot of factors, most of which are under my control. I realized yesterday that it had been several days since I had taken any of my meds, and going into the stretch run of a deadline is the worst time to be off of them.
Right.
Shit starts snowballing, and I don't know what I... Yeah, I mean, well, I know what I could have done differently. I could have done everything differently. Oh, God. I don't know. I don't know. Everything is just shitty shitballs.
Do you think it'll be easier to stick to a schedule? Because that's how the kids say it, schedule. Do you think it'll be easier to stick to a schedule once school is technically out and you don't have to worry about your kids doing their schoolwork?
I don't think so. I gave it up last week. I didn't even try to get anybody on any sort of schedule. I didn't bug any about schoolwork. I didn't do any of that stuff. It's like, it's close enough. Just fuck it.
Yeah, I don't think my son has done anything since online school has resumed because they can't lower their grade.
Right. There's no...
There's no punishment. There's no... So, I mean, I can't fight... I can't argue with a 17-year-old all the time about... Did you do this? Like, look, I had my dad who I've talked about on the podcast. There's no reason you would talk about my dad.
I love talking about your dad.
Is that he like was a really good dad? Like if this happened when I was in high school and my dad was trapped at home with all of us and I had schoolwork to do, my dad would have got a cup of coffee and sat right next to me at the computer and watched me do my schoolwork. Okay, but he also did not have to work from home. So it's like the only way I could enforce my kid to do his voluntary schoolwork is to spend hours a day sitting right next to him on the computer. And look, a great dad who really gave their all would do that. I can't do that. I can't. I feel like I don't have it in me to micromanage a 17-year-old every day for the last month and a half.
A big part of that is you shouldn't have to. Even my 12-year-old, they shouldn't have to sit next to him and make sure he does this stuff. I mean, and even if you do, what you're not growing anything. There's no, yeah, he's not growing any skills. You're not making any positive habits or even memories out of that. It's just this fucking sucks.
The way I feel is, you know, as we're wont to do, we beat ourselves up. Like I'm beating myself up that I did not instill him with the values that would just make him do this on his own. But he did get a job, so he is working 3 of the 5 days a week. So it's like he's doing something at least. He's not just playing fucking video games and shit. Anyways, so back to our schedules. Do you think your problem with it is something that could be fixed with just modifying it, or do you think it's you just not like one, like you said, snowballing? One thing happens and it's like the rest of the day is fucked. So modifying the times that things are being done isn't the same as, you know, like it's right. more of a doing it when you know you have to do it, as opposed to you can't do it because you're doing other things at that time.
Yeah. I hope there is some solution. I'm not going to give up on it. I was waiting until this time, like we had talked about, to really sort of, you know, sort of look back and really consider any changes. And I'm certainly going to be making changes. I made some notes here. One of them was that knowing what I shouldn't be doing is just as important as knowing what I should be doing. So I still spend a lot of time sort of fucking around. So it's giving in to those distractions of when I'm bored with what I'm doing, or when I'm frustrated, or when I'm anything other than content with work, I seek out something else, which is a huge problem. So that's a me thing. That's not, you know, that's just a focus, discipline sort of thing. But fuck, it sucks. The iPad does have a screen time app, so I can go in and I can look at what programs I've been using and for how long. So I can look at Clip Studio and see that it's been open for 7 hours today, and I have one panel roughed out. So yeah, it just adds on to the disappointment train, looking at that stuff.
Let me ask you, did you track your sleep? Do you think you're getting enough sleep?
I'm definitely not getting quality sleep, that's for sure. And I don't know what to do about that. I have two different kinds of sleeping meds. I have not tried regular old melatonin. I have a low-grade sedative for falling asleep, and then I've got something that's supposed to combat restlessness. So I get the restless leg a lot. I'll wake up. I'll be up. You'll not be able to go back to sleep. Once I get up, and I fight the urge to ask myself. Just ask myself, not even look at the clock or seek out what time it is, but just ask myself, I wonder what time it is. As soon as I do that in my head, I'm done.
Yeah, I do that. I've recently, in the last year or so, maybe it is the melatonin, mastered the art of falling back asleep, because I always wake up usually during the night. But I do catch myself just being like, it's not like a... Well, if I go to bed late, then it's like, how much more sleep can I get if I fall back asleep? But more times than not, it's like a morbid curiosity. Like, I feel like if I get up and pee and I don't know what time it is, my OCD can't deal with that. Like, I have to look at a clock. I have to look at something. But like last night, so I have been tracking my sleep. Like every morning I wake up, I put a note down how I slept, how I felt I slept. And like last night, my note this morning was I slept pretty well. I woke up a bunch of times because apparently there was a cat trapped in my bedroom last night, and I heard the cat meowing, but I thought it was outside trying to get into the room. But apparently the cat was under my bed all night. So I think the cat woke me up a couple times, but I was able to fall back asleep. But then when I caught myself this morning getting angry at everything, getting upset, I realized maybe I didn't get the quality of sleep I thought I did. Like, maybe I woke up more times than I remember. Maybe it took me longer to fall back asleep than I remember. So maybe I didn't get 7.5 hours last night. Maybe I got like 5, you know, or less than. So, yeah, I don't know. I the older I get, the more I'm convinced that sleep is like 90% of it. Like, I've listened to podcasts. People talk about like lack of sleep leads like a direct result to like heart attacks and strokes. Like, you know, so it's like, I think I just need, I used to be able to get by on 6 hours of sleep, 7 hours of sleep, but I think I'm creeping up to I need 8 hours of sleep, you know, to for my mood. I can function fine on 6 hours, but I'm going to be shitty, you know, and I probably won't get the amount of work done as I would if I had a full night's sleep.
I don't know what to do about that. I don't know what to do. It's like, I can't go to sleep at a specific time, and I can't wake up at a specific time. There are too many other things. I've still got a 7-year-old who comes in every other night, 2, 3, 4 in the morning to get me up because something. So then I have to go put him back to bed. They were sleeping out in the living room last night, and he comes in at... 3 in the morning, I had set my alarm for 4 because I needed to get up and get some stuff done, and he came in at 3. So I took him back out to the couch, and I go out there, and nobody gives a shit about this. This is what we call filler, folks. Take him back out there, put him back down on the couch, and the rabbit is out there. We have got a fucking rabbit. That's its name, fucking rabbit. And he sees me at 3 in the morning, and so he starts chewing on the bars of his cage because he wants some fucking food. And it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to do that, but he won't stop. So then I got to get up, and I got to go to the fridge, and I throw like a handful of spinach at him, and he chews on that for 20 minutes or whatever. And starts up again. I ignore it and I fall asleep and my alarm goes up at 4 and I turn it off and he hears me moving around, so he starts chewing on the cage again. My daughter wakes up wondering what it is, just in time to hear me say that I was going to cook and eat the fucking thing.
It's the biggest difference between our scenario is that you can't get all your work done and then go to bed at a regular hour, get up the next morning and start all over again. I can. So, I mean, at least you have excuses. Like, when I don't get shit done, I'm just a piece of shit. Like, you have excuses. You're probably being interrupted all the time. My biggest interruption is driving my son to work and picking him up from work and then, like, making meals.
Okay, so how did your week go? How did you fare with your schedule?
I am absolutely in love with my schedule. It couldn't be more opposite, it sounds like, than you. And I was thinking about why I love it so much. And I think maybe it's from growing up in like a military household where everything was done on such a schedule my whole life. Like my family always ate dinner at 5 p.m. or 5:30, whatever the hell it was. Like, I always knew what was expected of me every day. So it was never my kid is 17. Oh, he'll be 17 in like 3 days. I have to tell him every other day, do the litter box, you know, feed the cats. I've been telling him that for 4 years, 180 times a year to do this. I still have to tell him to do that. It's because I did not instill in him that discipline when he was younger. But like when I was in high school, everything was so regimented. Get up at this point, catch the bus at this point. After dinner, do the dishes. Never had to be asked. Homework after I did the dishes. You know, so it's like I lived on a schedule for the first like a very strict schedule for the first 18 years of my life. So I think I thrive in this. Like I was telling my wife, I love having even a document that I created. I love having a schedule I created telling me what to do. Right. So like from 7 to 9, I get up. My alarm is set for 6:15. I get out of bed at 6:30. I know I have a half hour to get dressed, make my bed, get my coffee, check social media. And then from 7 to 9, it's nothing but work. Because even if I want to go check social media from 7 to 9, that's not what this boss is telling me to do. This document I created is my boss. It's telling me to work from 7 to 9. You know, like my son last week, he woke up because he had to go to work and it was like 8:45. He's like, can you make me breakfast? And I said, I can in 15 minutes. You know, like when 9 o'clock rolls around, I can make you breakfast when I make my breakfast. Or, you know, like, so I stuck to this schedule. If I deviated from the schedule at all, it was that I finished my errands and my walk early and I got to work early, but I never deviated the other way. Like if anything, like a couple nights I worked straight up to bed instead of giving myself an extra like hour and a half of cool down time at night. I worked, you know, late, but I never sacrificed work. And like I said, I track my sleep schedule. I think in general, some days are going to be impossible and no day is the same because like I go to Phoenix or I do something else, but as much as I can, I'm going to stick to the schedule because I think it worked great.
Good.
Like I set myself a high goal last week of 9 pages of either just general 9 pages. Some might be coloring. So 9 pages seems like a lot, but not when you factor in coloring and stuff like that. So last week I set a goal of doing 9 total pages and recording and editing 2 podcasts. And I ended up coloring 7 pages. I penciled and inked 1 page and then I recorded and edited 2 podcasts.
Wow. Really good.
And I walked / jogged like 20 miles last week, like average of 4 miles a day. But again, it's unfair because I feel bad because I've been where you are. I mean, I used to have kids your age. I mean, obviously I still have 3 kids, but they used to be the same ages as your kids. And I can never do this with young kids like that. It would be impossible. I mean, there's the only way for you to be able to hit your deadlines and take care of all of your family responsibilities would be to sacrifice sleep. There's I don't understand another way to do it.
I don't know. I don't want this to turn into just me shitting on myself for a half hour, but
I'll shit on you for a half hour.
I don't know. I this is my sixth year of doing this full time. I feel like the sample size is large enough, or I can call it. And the problem is just the way that I'm built. So it's not a kid thing, and it's not a family thing. It's not household responsibilities, adult thing. It's just me. Maybe I'm just the guy that has to work the job where essentially you're paid to show up. Because, like, production work doesn't seem to be my bag.
I think you're being a little hard on yourself, because I think prior to quarantine, you were in a rhythm where you were doing a book every 5 weeks and you're doing the best work I've ever seen you do. You would admit it's your best work you've ever done. So I think the quarantine is hitting you. The lack of alone time, for a lack of a better term. I don't know, but you seem to, prior to all this, you seem to be hitting deadlines really pretty well and doing great work the last like 3 months leading up to quarantine. So what I would say is don't beat yourself up too much. You're trying to it's impossible. What you're trying to do, I think, is impossible.
Well, the thing is, it can't be impossible. It needs to not be, and I don't know how to make it not. I don't know. I've already lived in this space for a long time, and yeah, it's been made worse. I think not being able to have this thing, which I put a lot of I don't know, I feel like emotionally there was a lot riding on this schedule business for me, and to not have it work and to have it feel like another thing that I can't do, it's just, yeah, man, I don't know, it's depression's got me bad right now, and I don't know, like I don't know, a year maybe, I've operated under the notion that I'm a shitty person every day. Like that's the first thing, like, I tell myself when I wake up in the morning. And I woke up last night to go to the bathroom, and I went and I was walking back to go back to sleep, and it occurred to me, because I remember thinking it, because it was remarkable that I was awake, and I hadn't thought that. The specific thought, I'm a shitty person, didn't pop into my head. So I went back to sleep. I got up this morning, and that was the first thought I had. Was, oh, you're a shitty person. I said, oh, there it is.
Yeah, so it's interesting, because I think a lot of this is not necessarily schedule. It's not necessarily anything. It's mental. It's mental. I don't know what other phrase. You're your own worst enemy. You're up in your head.
It is the biggest obstacle, I think, for me professionally, more than anything, is this thing. And
you have to learn to celebrate the little things, like when you pay your bills off of your work, celebrate that for like 5 minutes that you did that, or blah, you know, blah blah blah. Because I mean, in my experience, I would say unless the counseling works for you, or you get on the right mix of meds, something that I should probably do, both of those. But it's only going to get worse as you get older, because in the last like 3 or 4 years, now that I'm entering my mid 40s, just random shit is happening that never used to happen. Like the last couple of times I've had hard alcohol or like heavy beers, and I've had more than one or two, even if I'm not like acting drunk, I'm not slurring, I'm not blacking out, I'm really not acting much different than if I had like a bunch of light beers. I wake up the next morning with just like anxiety, dread, and panic for some reason. And I had like a couple times last week, or one time last week, I woke up and I was like, I had to like, just, I just said to myself, like, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Like, there's really nothing wrong. Like, it's okay. But like, I just have this dread of something, like something terrible happened. But I remember clearly everything that happened the night before. And all I did was Skype with friends and have a couple drinks, you know? So it's like, it's just something that's come on in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So it's like, that's something new I now have to deal with. Whereas if I have, let's say, a six pack of Miller Lite, I wake up fine the next morning. But if I have three drinks with hard alcohol the next morning, I wake up like thinking that I did something wrong, or, and maybe it's, you know, you could say it's alcohol related, but like I said, if I had eight light beers, that doesn't make a difference. So,
yeah, I don't know what it is. It's, I don't know. I would bet that, creative people have a higher rate of this among creative types, as pretentious as creative types sounds.
All right, so maybe we should wrap it up. We'll do our tablet reviews next week. All right, my beer was fine.
It was fine. Sound like me.
Sounded like a middle, or tasted like a middle grade IPA. So I don't know if IPLs are any better than IPAs. I'm going to give it a 3. A 3.5, because whatever. Why not? Let's be positive. All right. Well, yeah, I'm going to try to stick with my schedule, and I'm going to follow up with you during the week.
I'm going to brainstorm some modifications, and maybe over the next week I'll try to put those into practice, and when those don't work, I don't know. There's a train track not too far.
When those don't work, we'll just try something else. Because your stuff you're doing is great. So there's no reason to beat yourself up over the work you're doing. All right, man. Well, I'll let you go. It's going to be a long summer. This isn't going to stop anytime soon. So I guess we got to learn how to deal with it. Both being disappointed in ourselves and everything else. We got to learn to work around it.
Yeah. Suck it up, buttercup.
That's right.
Feelings are for pussies.
That's right. Kick some, put some dirt on it. Rub it in some dirt, I think is what the phrase used to be.
Yeah, just rub some dirt on it.
All right. Well, I'm going to send you virtual hugs. And if you don't cheer up, I'm just going to show up at your house on Friday and give you a physical hug, COVID hug. So that'll make your life better. If I come hug you and start coughing all over you. Yeah. All right, man. I'll talk to you next week. Say goodbye, Scott.
So long, Scott. Good riddance.
Until next time.